If you're looking to boost your communication skills, build better habits, and connect with people on a different level, then the podcast is for you. It's a place where connection and communication meet coaching. I'm your host, Podge, a seasoned expert in health, leadership, and psychology. Each week, we'll dive into topics related to health with a keen focus on the art of building meaningful relationships through insightful interviews and practical advice. I believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and by learning from each other, we can not only enhance our own lives, but also strengthen our communities and how we connect with others. So I invite you to join me on this journey of connection and growth. Let's get started. Hello, folks. Welcome to podcast episode 11, where we discuss boundaries. So let's discuss how setting boundaries isn't just beneficial, but it's actually really, really important for a lot of aspects of our health, that we'll dive into, our physical and our mental health as well. And when it comes to building relationships and connection, it's incredibly important. So I'm going to share a story later, but I do encourage you to think about your own experiences as we move along through this. So understanding boundaries. I think it's important that to understand what boundaries are, and what they do is they essentially define our limits that help us communicate our values and our beliefs and our needs to others. I think that's a really important aspect of it, that what boundaries do is they allow you to show your beliefs and values and what you can tolerate in many aspects of your life. Just one second. I'm going to put on a do not disturb for me here. Usually do it prior to the chat. Forgot this time. My apologies. So first, we're going to look at physical boundaries and what these are. They relate to your personal space and even your physical touch. So this is really about just respecting and communicating your comfort levels when it comes to touch and proximity. So for example, you might prefer not to have someone stand too close to you or to opt out of physical greetings like hugs in certain situations like that. I don't know if you can relate to me. I found the pandemic actually changed this for me. Like growing up, like being in Ireland, we're incredibly social. When you'd go out into maybe bars or pubs or social events, like it was always very, very tight. Like you were in close proximity to a lot of people. And then COVID happened and we all had to be seated at a table. We had to be the 1 or 2 meters apart. And I noticed when the restrictions lifted, I found it difficult to go back to what it was like previously. It honestly took me about a year, I think, to readjust. I'm comfortable now, but it was interesting. I was kind of observing how I felt at the time. And I just found it interesting how like my physical boundaries and my tolerance had changed due to the environment that we were in that time. Anyway, I digress. The next type of boundary to speak of is just an emotional boundary. So this involves just separating your emotions from someone else's. Coaches can maybe attest to this one. I know, Doris, you're in the chat as well. I think as coaches, we are naturally incredibly empathetic. And this boundary can be really, really difficult. We tend to take on the emotions and feelings of the people that we talk with and the people that we work with. And this can be really draining and really tiring. As a coach, you know, if you're taking on some of the stuff that your clients or your numerous are perhaps going through as well. So I think it's really important to be able to set boundaries in this area, because it prevents you from taking on the emotional burden of others. And if we're talking in more like an everyday life sense, you want to try and prevent your mood being influenced by the state of others. So an example here is maybe not allowing someone else's day to upscuttle or ruin your one, and trying to maintain a clear boundary that the clear boundary that you are two separate individuals and you have separate emotional experiences. The third boundary I want to speak to is just intellectual boundary. So when we say intellectual boundary, we're referring to thoughts and ideas. So it's really about respecting and valuing your own and others' contributions. Probably a good example here is in general work settings. This could mean advocating for your ideas, but also not taking credit from other people's ideas, actually giving credit to other people. And this will really help foster an environment of mutual respect and encouragement. The next one, which is one that relates very much to me and perhaps to you all listening as well, is boundaries around time. So time boundaries are just about managing your time against the demands of life, which is work, the demands of your relationship, and the demands of your personal well-being as well. I think setting clear time boundaries just might mean, for one, maybe not answering work emails outside of working hours, to just ensure that you recharge and attend to your personal life. I see the listener count has increased as well. I'd just like to welcome everyone if you're only joining recently. Welcome to podcast episode 11, which is all about boundaries. I'm your host, Coach Podge. I'm a coach here at Noom. And today, we've just dove into kind of an introductory to boundaries. We've spoken to the physical type of boundaries that we encounter, emotional, intellectual, and time boundaries as well. At this point, I do want to give kind of like an anecdote or a story about someone, and we're going to call her Emma. And as we go through the story, some of this stuff really does resonate with me, and I really hope that certain aspects of it might resonate with you and when it comes to boundaries in your life as well. So imagine it's the morning. So Emma's day begins at 6 a.m. Despite her alarm, her phone starts buzzing with notifications. So she has texts from friends, early morning emails from colleagues in different time zones. And she even has a request from her sister to help plan their mom's upcoming birthday party. So even though she planned to start the day with a quiet cup of coffee and maybe a quick read of a book or a short meditation to set her intentions for the day, Emma feels like she has to respond immediately to each of these alerts. So she tells herself, I'll have time later for my coffee. This takes us to mid-morning at work. So Emma's known as the go-to person. Her manager asks her to take on an extra project with a tight deadline. And even despite her current workload already being maxed out, Emma agrees without hesitation. So she does this because she doesn't want to seem incapable or uncooperative in front of her manager. She doesn't want her reputation to be damaged. She wants to be known as reliable. So as she logs into her computer, her friend from another department steps by her desk for a quick chat. A 5-minute chat that we all know can extend to a half an hour. It could perhaps be like a venting session or about personal issues outside of work. This takes us to lunchtime. So Emma planned to attend a fitness class during lunch, part of her self-care routine. However, she's about to leave, and a colleague asks her for help with a problem that only Emma knows how to solve. So feeling guilty at the thought of saying no, she cancels her class, eats lunch at her desk, helps her colleague troubleshoot the issue. This takes us to the afternoon, where Emma receives multiple requests for her time and energy. She stays late to finish her tasks, skipping her routine of calling a friend during her commute. Someone she's really close with and a call that she really loves having. And in the evening time, she arrives home much later than intended. She's held up at work. And then she finds several messages from her family about the weekend plans. They're assuming that Emma's going to organize everything. She's exhausted. She agrees to take on these tasks too. So her evening, which she hoped would include some downtime and relaxation, is instead spent coordinating plans and responding to more emails that keep coming in. So then later, as Emma settles down for the night, she reflects on her day. She realizes she's actually spent no time on herself. There was no space for activities to ground her, like her morning routine, her quiet cup of coffee, her fitness class. The day was spent really managing other people's expectations and adhering to their demands. So I'm curious if any of that resonates with you. And for Emma, this pattern isn't new. So it's not just a one-off, right? It's an everyday reality. Emma feels drained and she knows that tomorrow will likely be a repeat unless she's able to make some sort of change. I think for me, going through that story, there's definitely a few that like stick out and I'm like, ah, yeah, that's me. And the first one, which I'm trying to be really good at and really conscious of, is I am trying to be conscious of my boundaries around the type of information I consume. So I know when it comes to health, right, I'm definitely an expert in the area of like what I consume physically, the food that I eat, but there's also like what you consume intellectually, might not be the right word, but through the information that you consume, most likely via social media these days as well. But I've actually been in a pretty poor routine lately that when I do wake up, I do keep my phone on airplane mode, which at least is a win. But I have noticed lately what I want to do is not engage in my phone for the first hour or so of the day, just because like I'm on my phone now because I work on my phone on certain platforms. I'm on a laptop all day, so I just feel I need that time away. But what I have found recently is, yeah, just consuming content on social media sites, and it's hard. And that was the example in Emma's, like she got woken up by her alarm, but then also woken up to multiple notifications. I'm just curious if that resonates, or if anyone is on a similar boat as me, but it can be really difficult to resist the temptation, maybe reach for your phone or just scroll in bed for a few minutes, but it could be half an hour, could even be up to an hour, which is crazy for me to say. However, I do notice after that I'm not fulfilled. I'm actually frustrated starting my day, and it almost has like a negative knock-on effect for the rest of my day. I feel like I'm chasing, I haven't gained control. And I feel that's what's happening here with Emma. I think it's clear that Emma's lack of boundaries has led to a lifestyle where her own needs and her own well-being are being constantly sidelined. And this realization is very uncomfortable, when you do come to this, but I think it is necessary for change. And I think if Emma came to this realization, then it's the catalyst, for setting clear boundaries, not just on her own health, but also managing her relationships more effectively. So for me, I think Emma's story is just a powerful reminder of why boundaries are so crucial. They're not boundaries aren't necessarily always about just saying no. They're sometimes about saying yes to yourself and yes to maybe a more balanced lifestyle for you. I think you could get the sense during the story, like there was a bit of a lack of control, like nothing was really on Emma's terms. And I think that parts of it, as I've attested, like remarkably similar to my own, and maybe you can feel the same. I think like Emma, just many of us learn the importance of boundaries through challenging experiences. And I do encourage you to think about a time when you might have felt a similar struggle. What happened when you didn't set boundaries? And what changed when you did? I see our listener count is after shooting way up. So I'd like again just to take a pause. Welcome everyone to podcast episode 11 on boundaries. My name's Podge and I'm a coach here at Noom. I'd like to thank you for joining. If you are new to the Noom Vibe platform, I hope that you are getting something out of it. And we do just want to be here to support you and help as much as we can. So please, underneath my name, if you want more content, please click the follow button to be notified when I go live or when I post any answers to questions. And if you do have any questions about the platform, if you have any questions or thoughts about today's topic, you can come on as a guest or you can drop me a DM. Also, if you do have ideas around future topics you'd like to hear, also very receptive to that as well. So don't be afraid to just click my name. I think as you click my name and then there should be a message Podge button as well, and you can find your way there. Today, again, as I said, we're just talking about boundaries. We had a little anecdote or story with Emma, and next we're going to go into the importance of setting boundaries a little bit about the challenges when it comes to setting boundaries, and then I'm going to leave you with some practical tips to help you in this area. Clear boundaries can really lead to respect and understanding in relationships. So research has shown that people who understand and maintain healthy boundaries tend to have lower stress levels and higher satisfaction in life. So it's not just about saying no, it's about saying yes to being healthier and more balanced. I was just doing some research on this topic, and I came across, there is a book, I think it's by Henry Cloud and John Townsend, it's actually called Boundaries. Just dove very, very briefly into it, but it seems like a really, really good book. So I'm going to spend time actually to read it, and I might come up with even a more in-depth discussion around boundaries at a later date. But that could be a good recommendation if you do want to learn a bit more around boundaries. So really, yeah, the importance are just so you can gain respect and understanding in the relationships you build. I think introspectively as well, right? I think setting boundaries is good for yourself, because it really does allow you to be self-aware of, like, what do you tolerate? What are your beliefs? What's your belief system? What are your values? What's your breaking point? Like, where would you absolutely not compromise? There is a lot of challenges as well when it comes to setting boundaries. And it's not always easy. It's actually incredibly difficult. I think it's difficult because many of us fear, there's a fear of conflict. There's a fear of maybe rejection. And there is an idea of appearing selfish too. I think one of the most daunting aspects of setting boundaries is really how other people are going to, or how you anticipate, not really how other people are going to react. I think for the most part, people will react better than you think, but it's more like that anticipation and that fear. And I've been in this situation myself, but I do think many worry that asserting their needs will lead to a conflict or just cause people to reject them. An easy example here, and probably a common one, is just imagining that you're at work, similar to Emma's case, and your boss is maybe constantly asking you to stay late or constantly providing you with more and more projects. You might worry that saying no might affect your job or jeopardize your job or even the relationship with your boss as well. So I think this fear can make it really difficult to set necessary boundaries around your time. So maybe a good example in this case to overcome this fear, you could practice. One good practice is just framing boundaries in a positive term. So if your boss were to ask this, you probably wouldn't just say, nah, I'm fine. You might say something more like, I can be more productive and bring more value to our team if I keep a more balanced schedule. Can we find a way to manage the workload within working hours? Even something like that with a positive frame on it can be, the person receiving the information would be way more receptive. I do want to bring, when I thought about challenges before jumping onto this talk, one that came to my mind is kind of specific to me in Ireland. So the broader sense is it's a cultural and social expectation. The example I was thinking of is if you are out, you want to, I don't know if you, maybe in the US, I know you have a term called the Irish goodbye, where you just like whoop, slip out without saying anything to anyone. It is really difficult if you are out in a social setting in Ireland to leave, like, quote unquote, early. So setting boundaries around that is really difficult. And you have to be really direct, the right word, firm might be another word. You have to be really, yeah, it is. You really do have to just be firm when it comes to it. So if you want to go somewhere and you want to leave at 8 o'clock, if you do say that and you're out in a social setting in Ireland, they'd be saying, why are you leaving so early? Sure, the fun is only getting started now. Sure, hang on. You get a lot of those kind of phrases. So like that can be a really big challenge. You feel like you're missing out. But maybe if you're aware of your beliefs or you're aware of your values, maybe you're a type of person that, hey, I know if I spend 2 hours in this place, like I'm going to get to socialize with the people I want to socialize with, like that will fill up my cup, that will fill me with joy, and I'm okay at that point then. Whereas then after that, you're probably exploiting your boundaries. I'm going to stay up too late,
I'm going to get too tired. It's going to have a knock-on effect for me tomorrow. I won't be able to go for my walk or my hike. So I think you do really have to be firm in your choices and know what's best for you.
So around cultural background, it can play a really significant impact in how comfortable we feel about setting boundaries. So as discussed in my example, I think in other cultures, like collective needs are prioritized under individual needs, which can make setting boundaries feel selfish or inappropriate. Kind of similar to my example, maybe in your community, there might be strong expectations that you'll participate in social or family events, regardless of your capacity or your preference as well. So a good strategy for this, I think it's important to balance the respect for what the culture norms are with your own needs. So you could start by choosing events that are most important for you to attend, explaining your choices for declining or when you decline others. Really importantly, communicating openly with family and community members about your needs can help them understand your perspective. That for me is a really big point that I could brainstorm right here. I'm in my office by myself. I could take out a pen and paper and I could brainstorm my beliefs, my values. I could brainstorm my boundaries. Like, okay, if I'm going out, I'm going to be home by 10 o'clock. So I could have these boundaries discussed myself. But if I don't tell or talk to, say, my fiance about it, and next thing we're both out on a night out, and at 10 o'clock I take the keys out of my pocket and go, okay, I'm driving home now. Imagine the reaction without actually discussing it with the people in my life. They could be saying, but where has this come from? Like, this was never, why are you going home now? This was never a thing. Whereas if you openly discuss your boundaries with the people around you, I do believe that they can be a support mechanism. But however, if you do kind of just keep it to yourself in certain instances, obviously you have to have your own personal boundaries that you might not need to discuss. But I do think it is important to have a support system, and you can only really do that by communicating with the people around you as well. And I think that will lead to a higher self-esteem and help you feel good about yourself. Just before I do go on to my practical tips, we have Dr. Riau joining into the conversation. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Coach Porch. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear from you again. Welcome back.
Yeah. I have always debated about this healthy boundaries versus the oneness I read about in the ancient wisdom, where our spiritual connection as one whole human tribe, and also our deeper empathy for everybody, it's kind of balance between individual differences and needs versus what we think about the collective harmony and deeper empathy, So it's kind of tricky business if you don't go into selfish and then really establish boundaries so harsh that can become divisive versus harmonious, existence that we all share. So I was just sharing that oneness concept, which can be in the bigger picture of Earth and ecology and how we bring every religion into harmonious whole versus this individual, needs and differences that we have. These boundaries may work there, but if they're too firm, then we will lose that oneness. That's all I wanted to share with you.
Dr. Rao, I appreciate you sharing this. I have follow-up maybe questions or discussion. I'm curious, it's a hard line to, how does someone know the line between a healthy boundary and then maybe one where, I think it's too linear to say they're veering towards selfishness, but...
Yeah, more like thinking about individual needs more than the collective needs. And we usually mature into that, right? After the initial, we're looking for ourselves versus we're working for the society or bigger cause and all that. People gravitate to that. And then just to pursue the, suppose there's a big work or noble work, then you will have boundaries for that automatically. Like I'm in a self-inquiry, I want to find out what is the truth of the matter, then other people may not be interested, they automatically fall away, you know. So you don't have to establish boundaries, but by the how you pursue your own collective needs pursued, that can help other people may fall away, because if they really only, you know, individual needs and just narrow needs, then it will fall away.
Mm-hmm. I think there is something to be said for the collective boundaries is incredibly important as well. It's really important for us to, not all the time, but having our boundaries kind of match the boundaries within the community as well. I think maybe that is the sweet spot.
Yeah, like email, for example. So many people send me emails, right? But I kind of say, I'm only going to read the ones that I need to follow that are important for me. That's not like separating everybody, but just identifying your own goals and your own responsibilities and doing that. So anybody of my patient or some consultant, all those, I will follow them. Then all the other things about some gossip or something like that, they fall away. I don't want to pay attention to them. So by sticking to my goals of what I need to do or my responsibility to the collective whole, those things will fall away.
Yeah, the work example is actually a good one to understand as well, because within a company generally you probably have a belief and value system like company wide, and then you can take from that, like, how do you fit, or what role do you play within that company.
Exactly. Servant leadership, which is what I really promote and teach, where the needs of the company, needs of the other people become more important than the individual executive needs, right? That way, he will have no boundaries for other people to come and reach him. But at the same time, he has cut out of his work what he needs to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. That provides a sense of purpose.
Yeah. A greater purpose. Actually, that's actually important. The greater purpose is for collective, not for self.
Yeah, it seems like a really deep, I was kind of researching, and you're going to time out, Dr. Rao. If you want to jump back in to finish out these thoughts, please do. But when I was researching topics, I did come across, just about kind of happiness, and you have the hedonic, like the immediate happiness, like acquiring, maybe buying something or something immediate, but then you have the more like long-term, more meaningful. And it sounds like if you engage in like the communal, I know we're speaking to boundaries, but if you can see how you fit within like a broader sense, like outside of the individual self, it can just make for more meaningful connection.
The boundaries you were talking about is like a practicality, emotional support and all that, you know, mm-hmm. to make us channelize in the bigger goals we have. Each of them has bigger goals, right? Like taking care of family, or those things are important too. But the thing is, these boundaries, like individualistic, like I have to have my own way to amass wealth or accumulate things, or at the expense of the earth or expense of the other people, that has become a nidus for division and wars. So fundamentally, if you go to the individual self and identify with my own egotistical nature versus what I'm truly inside, where we are all one common human tribe, then that becomes harmonious rather than division. But the practical purposes, you know, you have to have some kind of understanding about, I cannot spend so much time on this because I need to pay attention to this bigger thing. My elephants are there. I cannot pay attention to the ants. Then elephants will trample me if I pay all attention to them. So that's a good management principle too, right? What is the bigger goal of the company versus what is happening at a local level? And they kind of they'll understand that, you know. But the practical purposes, boundaries are good. But inner boundaries, I think we should work.
Yeah. Even just when you were speaking, like the broader set of boundaries, yeah, I can just feel even like a sense of purpose and meaning.
Yeah, because if you look at it, they said because we didn't pay attention to this egotistical basis, we are dividing ourselves against other people, and that is resulting in destruction of the earth and also the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I want to say.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. You've really kind of taken the topic of boundaries and just kind of expanded it to a broader sense of purpose as well, which is very important. So I appreciate that, Dr. Rao. Thank you so much.
I do get what you are talking about, the boundaries and the level, you know, but then there is a deeper angle there. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much. Yeah, if you ever do, I know you do lives yourself. If you ever are giving a talk on this topic, yeah, just for all the listeners here, like, feel free to give Dr. Rao a follow and you'll be notified when he comes on live. But yeah, awesome topic. And I appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you so much. This is what I love about this platform, is that we have people with so many different experiences and definitely experts in areas that you and I might not be particular experts in, that can come on and share their opinion and just help give us a new and a wider perspective. So thank you so much, Dr. Rao. I really appreciate you coming on. I see we have gone up in listeners again, which is brilliant to see. This is episode 11 of the podcast. I am Coach Podge, and as you've probably heard, we are talking today about boundaries. You can always go back and listen outside of this once the talk is finished on anything you've missed. We've just given an anecdote about a person called Emma going through a day in which she encounters many areas where she doesn't effectively put up boundaries for herself, and this really leads to her having a lack of control in her life. And after that point, then we discussed about the importance of setting boundaries, discussed some challenges when it comes to boundaries as well. And I'm just going to leave you with three key takeaways from today's think around boundaries. And the first one for me is just recognizing and being able to respect your limits. So I think you should know your limits and you should really honor them. And this is a really good first step. So being able to understand your beliefs and your values, what you'll tolerate, what you won't tolerate, are great frameworks to put up for you when it comes to setting boundaries. The second, which we touched on, is about being able to communicate clearly and compassionately as well. So I think this involves relationships you have, people in your network, like helping them understand what your boundaries are. And one really good way to do this is actually use I statements to express your needs. So this, what this does is it doesn't assign blame or making others feel wrong or incapable. So maybe an example is if you and, say, you and a friend or a partner or someone you're in a relationship with, you go out and they love to like stay out late, but you like to come home early. Instead of saying like, oh, you always want to stay out till 2 a.m., maybe you say a statement like, I feel like I need to go home at 10 because I have a great time and then I'm emotionally drained at that point. Like, that would suit me better. That's coming from a place of just your own personal insight, and you're not accusing or blaming others. I think the third one to say is consistency is key, right? If you set boundaries sometimes, but not all the time, it can just lead to inconsistency. So I think by maintaining your boundaries consistently can really ensure that your boundaries are respected and people know what they're going to get. So just remember, it's okay to adjust your needs. They don't have to stay the same as relationships evolve. But changes should really be thoughtful and deliberate and something that serves you. Just as we do wrap up, again, I want to thank everyone for joining into this live talk. If you do like what you heard, please click the follow button under my name. I'm always happy to take DMs on what resonated with you, any experiences that you might have. And if there is any topics for future talks that you'd like to hear, I'm really just here to best serve you on this platform. If you are new to Noom Vibe, I hope you were enjoying it. I certainly am. I always say on a lot of my talks, my favorite aspect is the connection and community that's happening through this. I've already met some fantastic individuals, Dr. Rayao being one of them, who's been a guest a few times on my talk now. And it's really amazing. Everyone has a different story. You all have unique and unique insights to share as well. So yeah, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Don't hesitate to share them on this platform, full stop, because we can all just learn from each other. I'm just going to close out. As I do, I just encourage you to reflect on your own experiences and consider where you might need to set and reinforce some boundaries in your own life. Take care. I hope you have a good morning if you're US-based. I hope you have a good rest of your day and a good night if you are in Europe or towards Asia or Australia. Again, my name's Coach Podge, and thank you very much, and talk to you again soon. Thanks, folks.